Mall of America. For more than 30 years, it has been a retail leader and an international destination, and it remains the largest mall in the U.S. Not to mention, it welcomes millions of guests from around the world. It's huge, but it's also so much more. In this podcast, you're going to hear the real stories of how it started and why it continues to thrive. You'll hear about challenges we faced along the way and what you can learn from them. We will feature guests and experts from all walks of life and business. And along the way, you'll laugh, learn, and maybe even change the way you look at things. So if you're a fan of the mall, a brand new visitor, an entrepreneur, or a dreamer, prepare to dive deep into so much more. This podcast is presented by the Bloomington Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of So Much More. I am Dan Jasper, Senior Vice President of MOA Press, and I am joined by my co-host, Jill Renslow, our Chief Business Development and Marketing Officer here at Mall of America. We have a very special guest that we're excited to welcome to the studio, Minnesota artist Adam Terman. You may have seen his bold, colorful style on murals and artwork around town, depicting Minnesota landmarks and characters. He captures the whimsical, yet hearty, Minnesota spirit in a way unlike any other artist does. His artwork can be found from Surly Brewing to massive parking decks to the Great Minnesota Get-Together, and of course, right here at Mall of America as well. He works with major brands, independent businesses, and private collectors to make art a part of our everyday experience. And with that, we welcome Adam to the show. Welcome, Adam.
God, you know, I love these intros because they make me, it's like this huge dopamine rush, you guys. It's always super fun. So thanks for that. Awesome. Yeah, thank you.
It's so good to have you here. Yeah. Thank you. We love you. You have a long connection with Mall of America, but you are a Minnesota native. You were born and raised here, correct?
We don't like to talk about that part too much because okay. I was actually, so don't tell this to anybody,
yes.
Right?
It's between us.
Right, uh-huh. I was born in California. Okay. But I moved here when I was 10, and so I kind of say, like, wherever you go through puberty is sort of where you're from. So
okay.
I'm from here. I've been here for a long, long time, and I love everything Minnesota. I love all the folklore, and, you know, Dan, that's kind of what you're getting at with, like, the, you know, a lot of Minnesota-esque stuff, and then that hearty comment that you're talking about. I love all the stuff here, you know, like everything from Paul Bunyan to the lakes to we have like way more than 10,000 lakes, but we just call it that. All that stuff. I love it.
It's always great when somebody comes here and stays here because it is a secret gem, right? And across the United States. So we love having you here.
Well, thank you. I'm going to stay.
I do too. And in very natural Minnesota style, you go like, we have way more than 10,000 lakes, but we're going to downplay everything, right? And that's who we are.
Yeah, very humble.
We started off right away talking about some of those icons, some of those signature elements, Paul Bunyan and the bridge that goes over the river. And I'm drawing a blank on the name.
Oh, Stone Arch Bridge.
Yes, the Stone Arch Bridge. Yeah. You really pick out Minnesota icons and you play on that, including some brands that have been around forever, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I like to describe the work as kind of being this sort of like deep local, right? So it's the iconic things that you see in Minnesota that you know is representative of where we are and all that. But I'm taking it a little bit deeper than that. So if you're from here, you really know
you get it.
What is going on. Like the I did a pop art series this last summer at the State Fair for some merchandise that I did. And some of the I'm going to back up here too.
Yep.
What's funny is we're doing a podcast.
Yes.
Right? So people can't see. I mean, yes, there's some video component to this too, but my stuff is so visual. So I'm just going to try to stumble my way through like describing things, right? But, you know, like I did Oh For Sure, and it, it's kind of a representation of a little known brand that makes this awesome sour cream dip, you know, so things like that. And, just when you take, like, for example, it's called Top the Tater. So when you take Top the Tater to like maybe another state, people just don't get it. But
what's
here,
that mean?
It's a very important thing.
So
just like
delicious.
Hot dish is really important here and, you know, all those kinds of things. So I love all that stuff. I just kind of love that, you know, I don't know, just the funny folklore, and it's just kind of silly. And that goes back to that whimsy thing you were talking about, too. I love all that stuff.
It really does. Take us back, though, to how you got your start, right? You were at an agency for a while, and you did some posters. I've heard some interviews you've done. And then talk a little bit about your breakthrough moment and the No Coast.
Oh,
Orama. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going all the way
back
there.
The show. So tell us a little bit about your origins, and was that a breakthrough moment, and did that launch you into your career?
All right, so let's break down these questions. So the first one was, how did I get my start? Basically, I've been drawing forever, making stuff. I mean, that's what I'm into. I love to make art. I just like to, I can't not do that. So I went to school for graphic design. I graduated with a degree in graphic design back in 99 from the University of Minnesota, you know, go Gophers. And then I got jobs basically out of school doing like what was called interactive design at the time, web design, that kind of thing. But that was all brand new. So a lot of agencies had like a print department, but they didn't really have like a web or interactive component. So it was like this kind of new scary thing. So I was a part of that. But I found that what was really happening was I wasn't using the skills that got me the jobs in the actual jobs that I was doing. So for example, in my book, my portfolio, I had just like a lot of illustration work in there. And then I wasn't doing that kind of work when I got actually into the business doing agency work. So on the side, I would just, so I'm breaking down that question, right? So now we're going to the next part that Dan, you were talking about, was like, I started to really want to draw more. And that's the thing that kind of gets me going, is to like make stuff and be physical, right? With like, you know, analog, hand drawing things. And so I met a design and illustrator collective, and they were doing gig posters for different musical venues around town, like First Avenue, the Triple Rock. We have to pour a little out for the Triple Rock because we miss them. That place was awesome. Turf Club, you know, little venues like that around town. We would get the email from the promoter, or from the, you know, basically from the venue, you know, First Avenue, about what bands were coming. And then all of us would get this email, and then we would kind of pick and choose who got what, you know, artists to do a gig poster for. Then we would have to reach out, get permission from that band management to say like, yes, this is okay to actually make a poster. And then I started learning my screen print chops from that business, where, you know, I didn't know anything about screen printing, but there were, at the time, this is like before Facebook and like MySpace, you know, was around and all that. And so the kids listening in are going to be like, what is going on? But this was all like forums, right? So there was like screen printing forum on how to learn how to screen print. But with this collective, we would get together and we would actually print together and learn things. And it was just really fun. And I got to also collaborate with some other amazing artists, you know, local artists around here. And and even because we were part of the forum, which was called, at the time it was gigposters.com, I was connected with artists all around the world too who were doing similar work. And like that was just super inspiring. Like, this is awesome. So, you know, flash forward, I had a day job, and it just wasn't the most fulfilling, and I was not, you know, able to do, you know, all the super creative work that I really wanted to be doing and just, like, making things. And the work that I was doing there, you could never really tell that it was actually me and in my work like you can now. So I quit my day job in 2012. That was super scary. I got to work in my basement. And, you know, my wife, she was super supportive. And, you know, we just basically put kind of a game plan together, and we put a budget together. Like, if you want to do this, we need to make about this much a month to not have to, like, dial back anything that we're doing. And that was kind of a big thing for me. It's like, I want to make sure that I am doing okay and, you know, able to provide and all this kind of stuff financially, la, la, la. So 2012, I quit my day job and I just went for it. And that's scary. You know, it's like jumping off the, you know, the high dive or whatever. And, you know, it's been a ride ever since, but it's super fun and I love it. I'm super excited and I get to work with cool brands and people like you guys. So yay.
Such an amazing story and very inspiring, because you took that leap of faith and look where you're at today. Yeah. And I think I would be interested to hear, what was that one piece of art or that project or that client that really hit that tipping point for you, that really just accelerated your career so you didn't have to worry about that paycheck to paycheck type of situation?
Good question. And, you know, I've kind of said this before in some other presentations I've done, and Dan, you picked on it earlier with, you know, Surly. And so in 2007, and I'm just going to like put like little like asterisks on this story, because like you can't do this these days, right? So anyway, Surly, I asked them for beer for a party. And this is back in 2007. And it was like, you know, a couple of kegs of beer for this party that we were having for a bunch of gig poster artists putting on a show at the Soap Factory. In, right by the Stone Arch Bridge, right? Yep. In the Milling District. And Surly was gracious enough to, you know, basically hand over some kegs. And I said, if I do this, I will then do a gig poster for you for free. And so Omar was just like, he was into it, and that was cool. So I got to do that. The party was super fun. And then we even got kegs at the after part, or at the closing closing reception too, which was pretty fun. Again, you cannot do this these days. And I don't do work for free like this either. Yeah. I don't do trade like this. But then what happened was Surly started using me for a lot of their kind of firsts that they were doing. So like their first Surly Fest, for example. Technically, I'm the second Surly Darkness artist. Okay. No, I take that back. I am the first Surly Darkness artist. I'm the second anniversary artist.
Okay.
And, you know, things like that. So, and then there's this really cool mural that I got the opportunity to do. And this was back in like 2012-ish, I think, or something around that time frame. And that was for Butcher and the Boar, which is on 12th and Hennepin downtown. Butcher and the Boar is no longer there. Now it's, I think, the Butcher's Tale or something like that. And the reason why I did that mural was because with Surly, I had done a mural previously with a good buddy of mine who's now actually one of the head brewers at Surly. And the Butcher and the Boar people were going to Surly to go and get their beer. And then they stopped by and they saw this mural that's up on top of their tap room. And they said, who did that? Omar gave them my name. And then I get to do a mural on the side of their building. What's important about that in my career is that that particular mural at Butcher and the Boar is on a really high traveled road, series of streets in downtown Minneapolis and a major bus line. So people saw it every day. I put my name on it really big and my web address up there. And so people could contact me and I got more work based on that. So that was really exciting. So that was kind of, you know, you were asking about one of those catalyst jobs. I mean, that's
it. The beer.
Yeah.
The beer.
Yeah.
It's well, beer. Yeah.
That
always makes a difference. You can look at it that way too, I suppose. Yeah.
That's great. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Well, and you talked about working with a couple of big brands there. You've done a lot of work with Mall of America in the past and some big brands here.
Yeah.
Would you talk about some of the experiences, maybe how you first started with the mall and some of the things that you've done here? And I'm looking at a special can sitting right in front of you
that
you designed.
We're not allowed to open these. I mean, these are collector's
editions.
That's mine.
Collector's editions.
Yeah.
If we have a Sharpie, I'd like to sign that for you.
Oh, please.
So let's see. So when I got these questions the other day, I was like, gosh, when did I start working with the mall? Like, when did that happen? And so I looked back in my files, 2015. That was Fashion Week 2015.
Oh, yeah.
And I think what I did, that was just a cold call. I mean, you guys called me and said, you know, will you do, here's what we want to do. And I thought it was like the coolest thing ever. This was cool because I got to do a poster for Fashion Week and like basically a gig poster.
Yep.
And then we also had a black and white t-shirt design of that too. And then they wanted, you guys wanted me to give away those prints. Mm-hmm. There on site, which was new for me. I'd never done something like that before, and literally give them away. And then, which we don't do anymore. No. but if you guys ask me to, yes, of course we would. And then also free t-shirts too. And those are some buddies that I was working with that were doing the t-shirt thing. Another thing that was cool about that was that was the largest print run that I had ever done. And so I think it was like 800 prints. And I was thinking about this like last night falling asleep. I was like, God, how long did that take me? And so it's about 800 prints, but really I did about probably 950 because you lose a lot when you're doing the printing process. And there were four color, and each, so when you screen print, each color is a separate run. And each time that I was printing that many and I was hustling, it was about 4.5 hours for each color. Just sitting there, you know, and going back and forth and printing. And it was a lot of work. And also the table was so heavy with paper that I had to divide it up a little bit. So my table, which is not the flimsiest, it's pretty flimsy, wouldn't fall over. Yep. So anyway, that was an exciting, you know, project to work on. What was the other things? It's like, oh, the Pepsi can. Of course, we were talking about that. So then you guys called me up again a couple years ago.
So glad he answers his phone.
Yeah. Thank you for picking up.
and you know, celebrating Pepsi in the Mall for 30 years. How cool is that? You guys invited me to be a part of that. And I did a wrap, like a vinyl wrap, kind of a mural around one of the escalators here. And you'll have to remind me what entrance it is.
Is it
north side. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then on top of that, the Pepsi wanted a can design done, so I helped with that too. And that, I've never had my stuff on a Pepsi can before, so that was super cool. Limited edition. I don't think you could get them anymore. And then what was the other thing? Oh, live painting. Yeah. As well, yeah.
Fun. Which we just looked at in our office. Hanging proudly in our office. We love that piece of artwork. Yeah, thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
You know, and Mall of America has really tried to lean into art over the past decade, and you were one of our first artists that we reached out to, recognizing your recognition of Minnesota art and really leaning into that. We love your bold, simplistic, colorful artwork, and it was just such a great collaboration with our brand. So when we reached out to you to do that fashion piece, it honestly launched us into a whole new area of how we could merge our brand with the art community here in Minneapolis and St. Paul and across Minnesota. So
thank you for
believing in us and helping co-create these amazing pieces.
Yay. Oh, that's a big warm fuzzy. I love that.
And you have another huge wall here at Mall of America in our North Atrium, which you partnered with Explore Minnesota, who's a big partner of ours as well. They have a big Explore Minnesota wall with brochures and stuff, and it's your artwork.
Yeah.
And every image you can think of is in there, right?
Yes, it's basically jam-packed with everything Minnesota you could possibly think of, really. I mean, it's that file was so big to work in. I mean, there were like so many things happening in that thing. So yeah, that was super fun to work on that.
So I have a question for you. When you have all these iconic components that you integrate into your art, whether that's Paul Bunyan, if it's the Pillsbury Doughboy, whatever that is, what is the approval process with those icons? Or because of an artist, if you take your own iteration or vision of that, like, what is that approval process? Is there one? And how do you make sure that you have... Maybe I'm getting them in trouble
trouble now.
But
great.
I mean, and then how do you maintain your creative... process when you're working with these brands that have been already established, or a client that gives you direction like Mall of America, because you still need to put your mark and have your signature style integrated in that. So talk a little bit about
that. The first part of your question, it's murky.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's beg for forgiveness sometimes afterwards. But I also try to put everything in a really positive light. I'm not doing anything negative. I love everything. I love all the brands that are here. So that kind of thing. So Jill, what was the second part of the question again?
How do you maintain your creative process and your distinct style when you're working with a client such as Mall of America? Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, you work with so many different brands.
Yeah.
But when there's a task at hand or request for you, how do you fulfill that but yet still keep your creative style integrated and make sure it's signature for what you develop?
I mean, that's the challenge. I mean, that's my job. So brands are usually coming to me and clients are usually coming to me because they already like what I do. Mm-hmm. So that process is pretty easy. But then it is trying to add my style onto it. I mean, that's the difference between graphic designer Adam and artist Adam. So, you know, as a graphic designer, I should be integrating everything seamlessly. You couldn't even tell that it's me doing it, right, with my style. But that's what brands are, you know, contacting me to do work for them, is to make it look like that. But sometimes I get projects where it's just like a million things that they won't put in it.
Yeah.
You know, like Explore Minnesota, for example. But then it's also my job to try to simplify a little bit too on some of those things, and then just add in things that just make sense for the project. But that's also, yes, here I am going back and forth, right? But that's like the graphic designer in me too, is to like try to solve that problem that that communication problem that they have. I mean, you know that from marketing, mm-hmm. you know, you're trying to communicate a message all the time. And then how should that message look? And then that's where I come in, and I just try to do my best basically. And, the process is really transparent. It's really open with the clients as to like, what are they looking for and what can I help them with? And also, you know, sketch approval and all that going back and forth. And I mean, they have a chance to react to it and say like, oh, we could change this or, oh, we hopefully it's always, we love that. No yeah. changes, but yeah. you know, you never know.
That's great.
I love that. And brands do work with you because they do know your style mm-hmm. and it's a beloved style. And I'm going to transition that to the Minnesota State Fair because outside of Mall of America, that's probably the next busiest place, right? For the 12 days that it's in operation, there's a lot of people
yes,
there.
Yes.
And I was telling Adam as we were walking into the studio that I'm there every opening day. And at 9 a.m. on opening day, I'm standing at the top of the ramp to go into the grandstand to enter his booth.
Yeah, you're hardcore.
Which got three times as yeah. large this
yes.
year.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the State Fair mean to you?
Oh, it's just bonkers. The booth is three times the size of what it was the year before. The State Fair to me is truly the Great Minnesota Get Together. I mean, I know that that sounds really like a cheesy answer, but it's true. I didn't realize that really when I first started going to the fair when I was a little kid. And then now that I'm like a part of it, that now I feel like it's all family. And it's a different experience for me now because I know kind of the back end of it a little bit more. I know people. I can say hi to people. I don't feel like I'm going just once. I'm trying to knock out everything in one day where I'm tired and cranky and I just want to get this over with. I don't want to stand in line, blah, blah, blah. Now I'm there not as many days as you. I'm probably there. Like, last year I was there about 8 or 9 days. But, you know, now I don't feel that pressure. I can just like have more fun with it. And people are there to say hi to me and hang out and have fun. And even on our lunch breaks, someone will come into the store that we're just like, or to the booth or whatever, that we're just like, oh my gosh, it's you. Let's go to lunch. And then we go and have a good time. So that's where that Minnesota get together thing really does come forward for me. We're walking down, you know, one of the streets there or whatever. And you come across somebody that you're just like, hey, it's you. And then we'll just go and hang out. And yeah. That's what I just love about the fair. It really does truly bring people together. It's pretty cool.
So, big question for you. I heard one of your goals was to meet Sweet Martha. Did you get a chance to meet her? And are we going to see a cookie pail in the future? No.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. My grand idea I thought would be really cool would be to design a limited edition yep. Sweet Martha's bucket. I just thought that would be super cool. And we sent an email out. We got a response back within about 20 minutes saying, not interested.
Well, I think
so we tried.
I would be first in line for a cookie bucket.
But on the other hand,
I would be there too.
I completely understand their position on that. Like, why open a can of worms when you don't need to? So I totally get it.
Too funny. Yeah.
Sure. They're both Minnesota traditions, right?
Yeah.
At the State Fair. Kind of a two-part question. One is, what advice would you have for brands that want to work with an artist? And part two is, what advice do you have for a young entrepreneur who's scared to take the leap?
Oh, gosh. Some of these tough questions at the end here that you're talking about.
Why not?
Build oh my to God! It.
How about the brands? If a brand wants to work with an artist, what should they be thinking about?
Well, try to keep things a little open. You know, have some fun with it. I mean, especially with artists, not necessarily designers. You know, working with artists, you want to, as a brand, I would imagine that you have something that you want to promote, you know, and you want to try to sell or communicate or something like that, but when the brand constrictions are so constricting, then it makes things not as easy to do to get some of these fun ideas across. However, you know, I'm working with another big Minnesota brand right now, okay. And it's actually like a super cool process where they came with a whole idea. They came with a sketch for me, and then I get to put it in my own style. And so, yes, I have to think about it, but it's kind of being like spoon-fed to me a little bit. Like, this is great. Yes. And then they just want it in my style. So what the entrepreneur thing.
Yeah, you talked about that moment when you and your wife discussed it and went, mm-hmm. Let's do it. I'm going to quit my job. Here I go. What advice do you have for someone who's on that brink and is scared? Because that's a scary leap to take, right?
Just make stuff. I mean, at least all I can really do is like speak to my experience of like how I got there. And for me, it was like a lot of making stuff and then networking and then just talking to people, getting to know people, trying things, reaching out. You know, I mean, you're not going to go anywhere if you don't do anything, right? So if you just sit there and, you know, in front of a computer and you're not, but if actually if you sit there on a computer and you're reaching out to people, that's different. I mean, you know, so it's just, I don't know. I absolutely submerge myself in like art and what I'm doing. I'm just, that's what I live and breathe. So as far as like entrepreneurial things, like I always think of an entrepreneur as like somebody who is just really into trying a whole lot of different things. For me, it's trying a whole lot of different things within a very focused field for me. So I don't branch out a whole lot. Like I'm not looking to start up like a shoe line or anything, you know, even though if someone came up to me and wanted me to design shoes, like, or like, you know, create art on shoes. Yes, I would be totally into that. So, but you know, it's that kind of thing. So reach out, network.
Okay.
It's good advice. It's a cheesy answer, but that's what worked for me.
Good advice.
That's great.
I have one other quick question, and then we're going to go to our, we told you this would go quickly, didn't we? That we'll go to some quick response answers here at the end. Our time has flown by with you, Adam. I read in an interview once that your wife was quoted saying that one of his favorite things to do is to make his mom cry.
Oh.
Oh. Hopefully
there's
happy
a good
tears.
Story
wow,
there, right?
Wow, listen to that. You're diving deep. I love it.
But I wasn't sure what the context
was, so I'm
curious.
Okay, so the context on that is that in the past I've made some gifts that are usually handmade gifts for like my mom, and you know, like I made her a couple like, you know, paintings and like a couple little books or just something that's nice, and you know, it makes her tear up. And then, like, that's my goal. It's like, see if I can get people to cry.
I love it.
This is stuff I make.
We actually talk about that all the time.
Yeah, no,
where were you?
Well, like, you know, would you rather get a gift that is just, like, something that you just, whatever. I saw it at the grocery store, and I just had to get it real fast because I had nothing to get you. It's like that SNL skit with the candle that comes out of the purse, right? You know? Versus actually putting some time, effort, thought, and really thinking about that person and what is important about that person to give to them. So
we talk about that all the time, where if you hit the different ends of the spectrum for emotion, the laughter, the crying, you really can connect with people.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Yeah, yeah. That's guys are going to make me cry now. Yeah. All right, let's do this.
And this did go really fast. So I'm going to ask a question for both of you. I'd love you just to answer. And this is kind of my research into you. And so I'll start with Adam, then Jill, if you would answer too.
Okay.
What is your favorite brewery or brew? So if you don't want to mention a brewery, what's your favorite beer? If not,
well, you already know mine. I mean, you know, like I love the, like Surly's home for me.
Yeah.
Just because of like my longevity and everything else. I just absolutely, I love them.
Awesome.
I just love them. And then my favorite brew as of right now is one that's called Before I Die.
Okay.
And it's a hoppy lager that they make. And you can have a few of them and it's really low alcohol and it tastes really yummy.
Awesome.
So that's my deal.
Jill.
I'll start with my Minnesota favorite. It would be Summit. Yeah. I have a close friend that works there, and if I didn't say that, I'd be in trouble. but
awesome.
Outside of Minnesota, Lion Cools, I'm a Summer Shandy fan.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That sounds good. I know you like to ride bikes.
Yeah.
What's your favorite bike ride or route, or where would you like to do that?
I always say go out west. So I like to go from if I'm going out, you know, from my house, I live in St. Louis Park. For all the Minnesota people listening in on this. And so I go out west on what we call the crush, and it's just the crush limestone, and just go out and have a good day on the crush, and it's just super fun. And then one of my main reasons of going out west is because then I get pushed home, you know, because the easterly winds push me home. So like I kind of like that, you know, as far as
the leisure you're getting back.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Jill, either bike ride or hike or?
I love to explore different trails, just to always have something different to look at. I mean, if you head south Minnesota, I mean, there's so many trails that were converted from train tracks that are just, it's brilliant to be able to take that that real estate and turn it into trails that people can just really enjoy the outdoors.
I agree. It's fun. Favorite state fair food?
Oh. Okay, so my go-to is typically the chicken and a waffle.
Okay.
Which is a waffle cone with a bunch of, like, chicken and gravy on it. It's at the Blue Barn.
Yep.
And then there's a little malted milk ball treat at the end of that, which is pretty fun.
Yep.
It's hard to have one. Yeah. Love the turkey sandwich, cheese curds, mm-hmm. mini donuts.
Okay.
The list could go on and on.
There's
I
someone
love
who's
fair.
Been to the fair once or twice.
With you, you've yeah. shown me all the secret gems.
It is fun to try out the new foods, though.
Yes.
It is However, fun. I like to try out the new foods the second time that they're at the fair because the first time is usually this crazy long line.
Yep, so you're right.
Good
wait,
call.
Wait till the next year. Mm-hmm. And then finally, what is your favorite thing here at Mall of America?
Oh, God. These are great questions. Checking out all my art. No,
I agree.
You know, this again is gonna sound like a cheesy answer. People watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, the the people that come here are wild. Yeah. It's awesome. I mean, you got you. I'm not gonna get into it because I'll probably get myself in trouble. But it's just even just walking in here today. Awesome. Yep. Awesome. Yeah. You have no idea what you're going to find here. And every day is different. It's amazing.
It's a similar pastime as a state fair, right?
Totally.
I love to people watch there, here,
yeah.
everywhere. Yep. And I would agree. I love the people watching. And also, I've really appreciated our art installations because they're unexpected when people stumble across them yep. here. And we love to see people taking photos and capturing those memories in a different light here at the mall.
I love how Jill kind of answered that for me. Thank you. I'm going to take that very selfishly and be like, yes.
Good job, Jill.
Absolutely.
And with that, we want to thank you, Adam, for joining us today. We want to thank all of our guests for listening to this episode. We loved having Adam as a guest. If you're interested in his products or his art, you can find that at adamturman.com.
You got it.
There's a lot of great items there. And actually, the homepage right now, I absolutely love. I just ordered that prior to taping this. So thank you for joining us for this edition of So Much More. And to Adam and Jill, thanks for joining us.
Yay. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of So Much More. If you want to hear more, be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you find your favorites, including Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. And you can also watch a video cast on YouTube. Go to podcast.mallofamerica.com to leave a review, ask a question, or give us an idea for the show. Until next time, thanks for listening. So Much More is presented by the Bloomington Convention and Visitors Bureau, the official destination marketing organization for the city of Bloomington, Minnesota. Before your next trip to Mall of America, visit bloomingtonmn.org for answers to all your travel questions, deals and packages for hotel stays, and so much more.